Okay. I'm going to say the set-aside prayer. God, help me set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Help me let go of all my old ideas, drop the rock, so I can live and experience a new have a new experience. God, help me carry your message tonight. Amen. Okay. We spent several weeks on Drop the Rock, and I hope it's been helpful. It's helped me a lot. The more I go through it, the more it helps me. We have some new people in recovery, so they wonder, well, gee, I'm not on step six. Well, yes, you are, because step six and seven, when you come in here, most people's lives are an effing mess. Some of us still have FMS for lives. Our lives have been unmanageable. We couldn't stop using or drinking. Why? Because we were self-centered. And we were practicing self-centeredness, and when we are self-centered, we have a character that reflects it. Gary, I haven't given you one of these yet. We have these cards for those listening on the podcast. We have the spiritual checklist on the site, experiencethebigbook.org. Has the personality characteristics of self-will. And when I have that personality, I feel restless, irritable, guilty, shameful, discontented. What we want to have is God's personality. That's what I was short of when I came here. It looks a lot better. I'm not going to read them all, but it's a lot better. And when you have God's personality and practicing the characteristics of God, you have peace, serene, and you're loving, and you're comfortable. And you have calmness and serenity. And so, when you come in here, you don't realize that, but as you work the steps, 1 through 5, you realize that your character defects and your personality has to change or nothing's going to change. If you come to AA and you get sober, you can celebrate, get coins, but if you haven't changed your personality, you're still going to be restless, irritable, you're going to make bad decisions, you're going to get people mad at you, you're going to get mad at them, and you're not going to feel good. Now, some people can live that way and not drink again, more power to you. What AA has a way of life where you don't have to be that person anymore. Through working the steps, you can change and be the person God created. Now, if you decide you're happy being disturbed and separated from God and practicing your self-centered personality, more power to you. But if you're sick and tired of it, and you want to live a better life, and you want to feel better, and you want to be of useful to God and others, step 6 and 7 is the beginning of that. Now, if you're new and you haven't done steps 1 through 5, you may not know the characteristics that caused your demise, but you get a hint, you know, of your anger and your fear and your dishonesty and your greed and your inconsideration, intolerance, your resentments, your self-pity. And so we're going to change. So 6 and 7 is how we change. And the more I work 6 and 7, the better my life is, and the more I'm of service to God and others. We got to page 9 on this handout, and step 6 for those who have the book and didn't want the handout. And I'm just going to read a few pages that finish up this step 6, and it's great stuff. There's so much in here. It's really the whole program. And then I'm just going to do the introduction to 7 tonight. So we're in page 9, step 6. It talks about the outlook of 2 AA members. See if anybody can relate to this. Don D. went to an AA meeting one evening. Does everybody see where we are? He frowned when a member mispronounced a few words while reading how it works. Frowned. That means he was judging. He was viewing things through self-centered glasses. He was appalled when another member stood up and said he was an alcoholic and addict. And can you be an addict and not be an alcoholic? Can you be an alcoholic and not be an addict? Mm-hmm. Is an alcoholic an addict? Yes, you're addicted to alcohol. We used to have a big thing. The alcoholics didn't want any addicts ruining their program. I still remember meeting at Mandino's, some lady, God bless her, she was just a mess. She was screaming and yelling. It was a closed meeting, and this guy had come, he had 1 year, he got a ride to come from the Indian reservation down to get a coin, and she carried on and he left. It was embarrassing. Anyway, I'm getting off the track. Another person talked too long. Anybody sit and judge that somebody talked too long? I've heard people tell me I talked too long. Mm-hmm. I said to the guy, yeah, one guy congratulated me, it was a discussion meeting, and he said, you were very good today, you didn't talk too long. I said, well, I'm glad you approved of me. And that makes me feel really good. Now, who decides how long everybody should talk? And he gave me a list of who doesn't talk long enough and short enough. And that. Anyway, that's enough of that. As he slipped out the door immediately after the meeting, so I told him to work the steps. As he slipped out the door immediately after the meeting, Dundee muttered, that was terrible, I should have stayed home. Bob N. went to the meeting one evening. His head was bowed as he listened to the preamble. He was grateful in how it works. His eyes moistened as he listened. He listened intently to a member tell a story. He was grateful for being able to attend this meeting. After cleanup and a little socializing, he paused, and as he locked the meeting room door, his thoughts were, thank God for such a beautiful fellowship. Both AA members were at the same meeting. Each found what he was looking for. And I wrote, what are you looking with? You see, are you looking with self-centered glasses or God-centered glasses? And if you're looking with self-centered glasses, you're going to judge, you're going to find everything wrong with everybody. If you're looking through God-centered glasses, you're going to be grateful. You're going to see love. You're going to see the beauty of the fellowship. And so I said, what are you looking for in your life? What are you looking with? That has to do with steps 6 and 7. Choosing to move into willingness and being willing to choose is a positive way of living. So I choose to move into, I want to be willing to change, and I'd be willing to choose to change, to take responsibility for the change. It's a very positive thing. And that's what they're talking about in 6 and 7. Choosing to move, I don't want to be self-centered anymore, and being willing to choose by letting go and practicing the God-centered characteristics. It is saying, hey, I'm worth moving toward being different without pain and resentments. I value myself and others enough to choose to make changes now rather than wait until I can't stand not making a choice. And what they're talking about is you wake up each day and are you willing to be the person God created? Do you want to be kind and loving and interested in others? Are you willing to choose to let go when you're not? And you don't have to wait until you're in a lot of pain to do it. It's completely different perspective than waiting until it hurts to make choices. So what they're suggesting is that 6 and 7, remember in step 10 it says we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, fear. When these crop up, when we start to have them, we ask God to remove them. So we don't have to get disturbed and off the beam very far anymore. We're willing to change and we're willing to choose to change. The majority of us are very aware of our defects of character, but it often isn't until we're sick and tired of being sick and tired that we become willing to change it. And I wrote, some people continue it, and they never change. And then they relapse, and they wonder why. Why didn't the program work? But if you don't change your personality, then alcohol has power over you if you're self-centered. Remember, you have no God in your life. They're talking, acting as if the choice is already made. You act as if, and what that means is, I act as if I don't want to be angry and fearful. And I want to be loving and tolerant and have courage. And I want to change. And act as if it's already put in place, puts the will of my line in line with the power of the universe. So I meditate to be loving, patient, kind, tolerant, considerate, compassion. I look at the St. Francis prayer every day. I'm acting as if those changes are already in place, and then during the day, when I'm not that way, I know I have a power to change. And it makes me aware that I want to change. It says, so we can put our will in line with the power of the universe, and that's what 6 and 7 is putting my will in line with God's will so I can be the person God created. I can't do it on my own. I have to do it with God. And I have to let go of my will for God's will to be, to come about. And that's how we use meditation prayer. on how God wants me to be. Remember, it says if you're agitated or doubtful, you pause and ask for the right thought or action. And so you're pausing so God can come in and change the way you are. And I wrote, only I can check my defects by letting go. So I want to get my line and will with the universe so I can move forward more gracefully into living without defects unchecked. And if I'm not willing to let go of them, they're not going to go away. But I don't have the power to remove them. I have the power to let go. As soon as I let go, make the decision to let go, God changes it immediately. People can talk about that. We open up. And so I wrote, when I pray and I have this power in my life, the changes are already in place. I just have to take the action. So I already have the power. So when I start getting into self, I already have that power. And I just say, Michael, let go of that. You're disturbed. And then the power's already there. It already happens. I know it works because I do it all the time. And when I don't do it, it doesn't work. Get the hint. Will it work? About as well as we surrender. Now, this is really important. And I have to constantly surrender of what's blocking me from God. And in my mind, and have God remove it. So I have to surrender my will all the time, every moment. How do you know when you're in your will? You're disturbed. So I have to surrender all the time. It's a daily, some people say it's a daily, it's a moment by moment surrender. Surrender means I want to let go and have the alternate way. I want to give it up and get something different. Will it change our lives? Yes, without question. Now here's a powerful line, and I didn't realize this till I listened to Joe and Charlie years ago. It's a matter of practice and willingness. What I practice is what I get good at. Now I was very good at being self-centered. I can say I was like a Hall of Fame. I was very good at it. Judgment. I was all pro. I mean, I was good at it. I could still be good at it. And I practiced it. And Joe and Charlie said, we practiced these defects and we were very good at it. But they destroyed our lives. So now we want to practice the opposite so we get good at that. So we recognize, I don't want to be that way. I want to practice being kind and tolerant and considerate. And the more you practice that, the more automatic it is. You start to judge and you say, no, they are who they are. I want to be that way. So you have to practice living the characteristics of God. And the more you practice it, the easier it is. And that's why they talk about love and tolerance of others as our code of living. And the more we practice love and tolerance, the better we get at it. And we get less disturbed, and the world changes because we've changed the way we see it. The more willing we become, the more we practice acting as if, the more active our surrender becomes, and more we're able to live as if. So the more I'm willing and the more I practice as if I've changed, the more active I am to surrender when I get back into my old personality and then live a different way. So what are you practicing and acting at? If you're disturbed or full of fear, you're practicing these characteristics. And how do you feel? When do you want to decide to let go of them? And the thing is, you have to make a daily surrender commitment and then follow through all day. It says we must carry a vision of God's will in all our activities. I don't think they're talking about we'll get to work on time and, you know, they're talking about how God wants us to be. Am I going to be loving, kind, patient, tolerant, considerate, compassionate? If that's the vision of God's will, if I am that way, then I'll act a certain way. AA to me is about being and then doing. If you be a certain way, your actions will follow. All actions born in thought. If I'm loving, if I'm hateful and intolerant, I'm not going to act loving and kind. And my actions will reflect that. So it's a daily surrender. Is there a conflict with the person I'm choosing to become and the person I currently am? Well, that's we talk about which side of the card are you on? Are you left or right-hand side? And I think we get in conflict all the time. I want to be the right-hand side, but I wake up with self-centered glasses, so I see this, and then I stop. But actually, the more you do this, you don't like to spend any time over here. It's more effort to be on the left-hand side than the right-hand side, and you just let go quicker. I don't know if that makes any sense. But the more you see the destructive personality, the less you want to practice it. Now, if you want to practice this, go ahead. Nobody's going to stop you, but you're going to be miserable. Authenticity is being true to a vision and purpose. You know, being true to the vision of God's will, and the purpose of it is to change and to be of service to God and others. We are authentic when we choose to act and feel and choose to behave in balance with the higher values and principles we've chosen for our lives. If those principles and values are not fully in place and manifested, it doesn't make us phony. It makes us human. So we can't, remember at night it says, were we dishonest, resentful, selfish, or afraid? And then we look, were we kind and loving to all? Were we thinking about ourselves all the time? Were we thinking about what we could put into life? And see, Anne, what we could put into life. Then that becomes the how we feel, depends on which side of the card we're on. And it says, so at night it says we should not get morbid reflection, remember? And we have to ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures. So we're always going to be on one side or the other, but we're trying to move into the direction that God wants us to be, the person God wants us to be, and it's a journey. And the more you practice at it, the better you get, and the more peace you have, and your days are better, and you're less disturbed. There are many stages in surrendering and practicing. It's called progress. And it says, we will be discussing many of the stages in connection with the sixth step and getting working the seventh. We'll be discussing many things that hinder our ability to surrender and many of the defects of character we wish to remove. There's no magic in recovery. Now here it is, we get what we work for. What are you working for? Am I working to be this person or am I working to be the other person? And I want to tell you, it takes, after a while, it takes less work to be the God-centered person than it does to be the self-centered person. Because once you get the self-centered person, it takes a lot of work to get out of it. And it says, the more we practice God, I wrote, the more we practice God's character, the better we are at doing it. The more I practice my self-centered character, the better I was at doing that. So I don't want to do that anymore. So that's one of the things you do when you wake up and you pray and you meditate. You're asking God to be the person He created. We're going to look at this last two pages. Actually, I got three pages. I hope we finish it tonight. My wife's tired of copying this one. When I first, this is Charlie's story, I wanted all the good things people had, right? But I didn't want to work for them. Sound familiar? Oh, I worked the steps, at least the ones I thought I needed. I like that. I like it when they read them off the wall and they tell me which ones they're going to do or not. And when it came to steps 6 and 7, I was ready and willing to have my higher power remove my shortcomings, should I have any, of course. I had no idea what they were because I didn't think I needed step 4 and thought I could skip step 5. Believe it or not, we're laughing, but so many people do this. I've had people work the steps in the meeting. They come to a meeting and they're looking at them and they're working them and they tell me why I got them. I got the steps. He says, but I prayed vaguely that should he see any shortcomings, I was ready for him to remove them. The principle of step 7 is humility, and I had none. Now this is a really good line. As I made progress in recovery, I became aware of my many character defects and just how blind I had been to them. Remember, we have a spiritual awakening. We become awakened spiritually, and when I'm spiritually awake, I can see my self-centeredness. And I can see when I'm off the beam. But before I came in, I couldn't see it. I just thought that's the way it was, and my motives were always good. Anybody else have that? And I mean, some of these people need to be judged. And mercifully, my higher power showed me only what I was ready to see. And I wrote, whenever I'm disturbed or have negative emotions, I become aware of what's blocking me from God. now. I can see it. And it takes a lot of work to unblock, so I just let go. I just say that's the way it is, and be, you know, that's the way they are, and it's none of my business. I don't care what they think. And that's always a lot quicker than saying all the prayers and getting upset. I became depressed and thought I could never be forgiven or relieved from these shortcomings. This depression, I discovered, was not humility, but another form of playing God. And I've heard that. People get down on themselves and this and that, and they're anxious all the time, and oh, poor me. Believing my character defects were more powerful than my higher power's forgiveness. That's a powerful line. Remember, every night we ask God's forgiveness. We don't get in remorse or self-pity. Anybody believe God has all power? And if God has all power, he can forgive me. I think, believe God already forgave me before I came in here. I would have never gotten AA, right? I'm so grateful. And I wrote, if you can't believe in a higher power, you can't achieve forgiveness. You can't believe he loves you. Then if you don't believe that God can forgive you, who told you that? You see, who told you that? Yourself. And God never told you he didn't forgive you. You see, and so we... There's a lot in that line. Then when I recognized who had the power and who was powerless, I had to decide if I was entirely ready to ask him to remove my shortcomings. God has the power and I'm powerless. But if I'm entirely ready, can God remove all my shortcomings? Yes. Anybody sober today here in the room? Anybody not drink? Will God remove the obsession to drink today? If he could do that, you think he could remove my anger and my intolerance and my impatience? And so in the 12 and 12, it says the riddle of our existence is why if God could remove the obsession to drink, we don't give him our whole personality. And why do we hold things back? It's a riddle. Then when I recognized who had the power and powers, I decided if I was entirely ready. I had to quit playing God. After all, my character defects were what I thought made up my personality, and I was pretty much in love with whom I thought I was. Self-will had been my higher power for a lifetime. And I was afraid, of course he's afraid because he's on self-reliance, not knowing that something better would take the place of my character defects. Now this is really good stuff. With all the honesty I was capable of at the time, I worked the steps in order, 1 through 6 and 7, asking as humbly as I could that my higher power removed my shortcomings. They did not disappear. What a shock. I was not struck pure. Then here's the point I make about steps 6 and 7. Then I was made aware that character defects are like active addiction. I can't keep using and expect God to relieve my disease, right? Nor could I keep practicing my character defects and expect God to remove them. Now I'll read that one again. Neither could I keep practicing my character defects and expect God to remove them. You see? And I practice the character defects. Now I have to stop practicing them. I have to stop and act as if they've been removed and ask God to remove them. So he's going to develop a new set of habits to work against who I thought I'd always been. And as I practice these new habits, the old habits' character defects begin to be replaced. That's what I said before. We are what we practice. Do I want to practice being kind, courageous, considerate, humble, giving and sharing, doing for others, or do I want to be the self-centered person I was? And as you practice these new habits, the older ones are replaced. So that's why it's an action step. You have to let go of the old way and practice the new way. And I wrote, you are what you practice. So if you have a bad day, whose fault is it? It's yours. Joe and Charlie make the point, when you get to 6 and 7, if you're having a bad day, you can't blame anybody else. It's just you. All the time, always. Because you don't have to let anybody ever get upset. You remember, anger is a choice. And I wrote, when judging, stop and practice tolerance. When angry, stop and practice love. When selfish, stop and practice consideration. It's not that complicated, is it? But to do that, you have to be willing. And you have to have a relationship with God so you can recognize it. Anybody ever get upset and send a text and then wish they hadn't done it? See? But if you're practicing 6 and 7, when you start to type, you stop. And you say, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be this person. And then you don't send the text. Why should I hurt over letting go of the behaviors that only harm me? Isn't that a good question? Why do we want to hold on to these? So I began really living the principles of the program using the support of the fellowship, the daily striving to change. I have to daily strive to change, to let go and receive more. Remember, we're like a hot air balloon, Joe and Charlie said. We've got all these rocks holding us down, and the more we drop, the higher the balloon goes. There's no limit to how much peace and serenity we can have. Who holds on to the rocks? We do. So we're in charge of how miserable or happy we can be by what we're willing to let go of. It says it doesn't happen overnight. It takes years of practice, a lifetime. I am not a saint. Well, that applies to you guys. But I claim, accept, and am grateful for my spiritual and healthy emotional progress. See, we can see if we have spiritual progress, I wrote, then we have emotional progress. So the closer we are to God, the better we are to practice the principles, and the better we feel. Charlie made some very important discoveries in his journey. In the context of surrender, which we're discussing here, the first thing he discovered was that he needed to be willing to make a choice. And how do we become willing? We do steps 4 and 5, and we see what our life was like when we're self-centered. We don't want to live that way. See, that's why step 5 is we admit the exact nature of our wrongs. My wrongs were my resentment, my fear, and my harmful conduct, but the exact nature were my character defects. And all my character defects was what I was short of God's character. And so all we want to do is give up what we don't have, what we're taking away from God's character, to get God's character. And remember, God doesn't like a vacuum, so if I let go of anger, he'll give me love. It happens automatically. It was up to him to put his will into action, to choose to work the steps. It really helps if you work the steps, if you're new, I suggest it. And to practice being willing until he was entirely willing. The next thing he did, and what makes you more willing all the time? The results. You feel better. You let go of your self-centered character, you feel better, and you want to do it all the time. So the more you practice it, the better you feel, the more you want to do it. But in the beginning, don't get too hard on yourself. I mean, you live the lifetime this way, you're not going to change overnight. And that's why doing 6 and 7 and inventorying at night is very helpful, to see where you are and what you need to do and how you need to change and get a vision of God's will for you. He said, the next thing he noticed, that his own resistance to surrendering was because his self-concept was that his personality was his character defects. If he gave up his shortcomings, he'd become the hole in the donut. I don't worry about it anymore. I want to give him up. Believing there's something more and better is the essence of faith. And it's in broad writing, is trusting that God will reshape me into what I was meant to be in the first place, a decent human being. Now, who shaped me into being a not decent human being? Me. See, I did it all in my own mind. God, the character God made was already there. Somebody says that what we are is like Michelangelo made the David out of a piece of marble. And they said, well, how'd you know? He said, I just chipped away everything that wasn't David. And then it was there. And isn't that what God's trying to do with us? We're letting go of everything that isn't God's character all the time. And then we become, and then how do you get self-esteem by doing this? And then how do you feel good about yourself so you don't have to worry about being good enough all the time by doing this? How many times have you heard that in meetings? Probably many times. We fear becoming invisible if we stop practicing our faults. Well, that's nonsense. But some people believe that. We fear becoming average, normal, or boring. I don't worry about that anymore. In contemplating surrender, many of us came face to face with our self-image in an honest fashion for the first time. I tell you, in the beginning, you know, I'd get upset at work and people would bother me and I'd be judgmental and I just got tired of it. And until I was really tired of it, willing to work 6 and 7, nothing changed. And I got better. We don't get perfect at this, but I had more peace. And in fact, I think I got along better with people. It was shocking. Yeah, the more you practice God's personality, the better you get along with people. It's in a lifetime building an image of who we are and how we operate. It's a fantasy story. Isn't that what we tell people in our step four? And isn't that our old ideas, what we thought? And then we're asked to put aside what is conflict with the new principles we've decided to follow in the program. So I want to give up my resentment, my fear, my old ideas. I want to give up my self-centered thinking. And so the more you do it, the more you see the truth, the more you want to give it up. And you see what it's done in your life. It hasn't done any good. All right, we're done with that. And I was going to start step seven on humility. But is it okay if I wait till next week? Should I continue? This is really good stuff. Now bring the three pages. I've actually, Patty, copied a whole bunch. I'll bring the rest in the handout next week. So if you can bring the three pages. If not, I'll copy the whole thing. It's excellent. It's about humility. It's about how we change and how we become a seeker of God and then how God changes us. So that's okay. We'll do it next week. All right. Thanks, guys.